Hi everybody, I'm Pinakin Munshi. We are talking about legal aspects in supply chain management. Today we are going to cover service laws and contracts. What we are going to cover as part of this chapter, we will look at the laws of insurance, reinsurance, fire insurance, miscellaneous insurance, marine insurance, what is IRDA, and insurance homeward fee. So, law of insurance. The Insurance Act of 1938, which has been amended a couple of times, will be the basic act or law for the entire insurance business. There are majorly three types of insurances. There is life insurance, fire, and marine insurance. Apart from that, there are certain other miscellaneous insurance like medical insurance or motor insurance, accident insurance, etc. So, what are the risk factors? Basically, insurance is dealing in risk, or rather risk mitigation or risk cover. So, when you take an insurance, you are basically insulating yourself against a risk which exists. Now, what are the conditions for taking an insurance? The risk should not be artificial. That means it should be a natural risk. Artificial means it should not be man-made. It should not be something which is deliberately done. It should be something which can happen accidentally or naturally. The risk should be commonly known. That means it's a risk which can be predicted. One example I would like to give is the tsunami which hit Chennai a couple of years ago. It's a risk which was never known. So the risk should be commonly known. You should be able to visualize that such a risk exists. The loss due to the risk should be capable of estimation in common currency, which means that the damages you should be able to estimate. It also means you are able to predict what is the maximum damage that you can claim, against your risk. The insured party should have a real interest in non-occurrence of their risk. The type of risk, amount of compensation, and period is documented in the insurance policy. What do we mean by should have a real interest in non-occurrence of the risk? That means if you have a risk of fire, then you should have a genuine or a real interest to ensure that fire will not occur. And what it means directly indirectly is you have adequate safeguards. Firstly, to prevent a fire, and secondly, in case there is a fire, you have adequate measures to bring it under control and quench the fire. So, this has to be demonstrated. We will talk about this also as we go ahead. The type of risk, the amount of compensation, and the period is documented in the insurance policy. So, type of risk means whether the risk is fire alone, or whether it is fire plus earthquake plus riots plus floods, could be tsunami. So the type of risk has to be mentioned in the policy. What is the maximum amount covered by the policy? That has to be clearly mentioned, and the period. So whether it is for a 6 month period or a 1 year period or even for an extended period, that has to be mentioned in the insurance policy. Coming to compensation, the compensation to be given by the corporation to an insurer having the share capital on which dividend or bonus is to be payable. Now, this is a particular case where in case of life insurance policies, etc., you can actually have a share with the insurance company, which means that other than paying simply for the premium for covering the risk, there is a certain component which is being invested So in such a case, the based on the share capital, and I'm here referring to things like ULIP, which is unit linked insurance policy, etc. So there the compensation will also depend upon the share capital on which a dividend or a bonus is payable. Because you may be aware that there are certain life insurance policies where if a person does not die, then he will get the money back along with the invested portion and certain bonus, etc. Maybe a no claim bonus will be payable to him if he survives. The amount of compensation to be given to the insured is calculated from the details in the policy document, and the compensation paid to the agents is decided by the insurance company. So all the details about the policy, about the compensation, have to be contained in the policy document. It has to be clearly specified, including the compensation which is being paid to the agents, if there are any. Sometimes the premium is to be returned to the insured on either return of policy or some other situation where the contract of insurance becomes void. Again, I give an example of a life insurance. In case of a life insurance, certain medical tests may be necessary if the value exceeds a certain threshold. So imagine a person has paid the premium, and then he goes for the medical test and he fails the medical test. In which case, the company, the insurance company, will inform him of their decision, regretting their ability to insure the individual. So in such a case, the premium, what has been paid to the company, needs to be returned to the insurer. Reinsurance. So reinsurance is a term used when the insurer finds that the risk involved is beyond his capacity, and so he insures the same risk either wholly or partly with other insurers. What it means is, when you are talking of insuring a ship or a aircraft, the value is generally very high, or it could be a huge plant, you know, it's a petrochemical plant or so. So in such a case, the insurance company may find that the risk is too big to cover by them alone. So in the event of an accident, or the risk actually turning into an incident, the company may have to pay out a huge sum of money which can actually make it go bankrupt. So in such a case, what they do is, they will again take a back-to-back insurance with another company. That means they will cover their risk with another company. Now they can do it wholly or partly, depending upon the level of risk. So if the risk is too big and the company is not that big, they may actually cover the entire insurance with the partner, the back insurer. Reinsurance is a method of reducing the risk to the insurer. So the insurance company who has taken your insurance, they are reducing their risk, because they are actually spreading the risk with their partner with whom they have insured the cover. The double insurance is a term applied when the same risk and the same certain matter is insured with more than one insurer. So what you do is, you may either insure the same, ship or an aircraft or a plant with two people, or you may even have a part insurance. So like if it is a plant or it's a production site, then you may have two sections to it, and then you may have the insurance being done by two different parties. Coming to fire insurance, so the fire insurance business means the business of protecting against loss by incidents of fire or other occurrences customarily included among the risks are insured against in fire insurance policy. It's actually insured against the fire insurance policy. So fire insurance basically covers against the risk of fire. The policies of fire insurance are divided into 7 types. Based on the type of policy, the insurance sums are different in each type depending on the type of fire and the sum assured. Again, I would like to just emphasize here, fire insurance is the generic category of the insurance, but practically in industry, the same insurance is used to cover other risks like theft, flood, earthquake. So, but we generally term it as fire insurance. The fire insurance business is governed by the general insurance business, which is the Act of 1972. The policies of this fire insurances are divided into 7 types based on the types of policy. So the first type is the ordinary policy. The insured amount equals the original stated price of the property less the depreciated cost. So what happens here is, let us say that you have you are insuring a ship. The original cost of the ship may be X. And the ship is already 5 years old. So in here, in this particular case, the insured amount will be the original cost of the ship minus the depreciated value of the ship. So what you are doing is, you are reducing the value for which the ship is insured by deducting the depreciation. What it means is that the premium that the company has to pay for insurance is reduced in this particular case, but also you will only get part of the money. You will not get the full value of a new ship. Specific. So where the liability equals the specific amount, which is less than the total original cost of the property, and the loss reimbursed is the actual loss incurred, which is less than the insured amount. So here what you do is, the liability is a specific amount. So for example, in the case of a ship, we say the cost of the ship was 10 crores. After 5 years, it is depreciated and the cost is 5 crores. But I may decide to insure the ship for 7 crores because I have done certain maintenance, I have refurbished the ship, I have added some additional equipment. So I may insure the ship for 7 crores. And in the event of a mishap, let's say a fire, then I will get the claim which is for the actual loss. But the loss will be limited to 7 crores. That means I cannot claim more than 7 crores. And the loss will be restricted by the actual loss which has been suffered by the insurer, the party who has taken the insurance. Then you have the valued policy. So here, the insurer is bound to pay specific amount irrespective of the actual loss. So if there is an incident, then whatever is the specific amount for which the insurance has been taken, that amount will stand to be paid, irrespective of what is the actual loss which is suffered. So actual loss may be negligible or it may be very low, but you will get the full amount. I'm reminded of the accident insurance is under this category, where you will get the full accident insurance amount, even if the accident is not fatal or may not be very severe. Because under the terms of this policy, if there is an accident of a certain minimum severity, then your claim can be made on the insurance company. Then you have the average policy. So here the insurer does not pay the full loss amount, but only pays a pre-decided portion of the loss for which it is insured. So what happens is that you do not want to insure the entire consignment. You only want to insure it for a certain portion of the total loss. Let's say that you want to only insure 50%. So then, irrespective of the loss, you will be paid proportionately only that percentage for which you have ensure the consignment. Now, generally, this kind of a thing happens when you are transporting, let's say, materials which are not very high value and which cannot be easily destroyed or cannot become useless. So, let us say that you are carrying steel beams. What you need to cover is the cost of maybe salvaging the beams, or because they are a very heavy equipment, you may require cranes to pick it up if the truck has overturned and put it on another truck, etc. So, in case of this average policy, you are not ensuring the full value because the goods are not likely to be destroyed or made unusable in the event of an accident. Replacement policy. So, here the insurer pays the cost of replacement of the property or its part under consideration. So, in replacement, what happens is, take the example of a car. You buy a car for, let's say, 5 lakhs of rupees, 6 lakhs of rupees, and you have an insurance for 6 lakhs. After 2-3 years, the value of the car is continuously depreciating. And let us say that your car is sold. You go to the insurance company, and the insurance company will say that your car, which was worth 6 lakhs, is today worth only 3 lakhs. So, under the ordinary scheme, they will give you the depreciated value of the car, which will be only 3 lakhs. But then, 3 lakhs is not sufficient for you to buy another car. So, in such a case, you could go for a replacement policy. So, in replacement policy, you get an insurance for the replacement value of a new car. So, if you have gone in for a policy which will compensate you for 6 lakhs, you will get 6 lakhs irrespective of what was the value of your car when actually it was stolen or when it met with an accident. So, that is the replacement value. Probing policy. So, here it is to cover the property which is situated at different places, and this type of policy is used to, based on the average of the prices. So, in case of a floating policy, you know, your property or materials, they may be moving, they may be in transit, or they may be moving across warehouses, etc. So, a single policy will cover the goods across different locations, and that is where this floating policy is useful. combined policy. So, when the cause of loss may be different, this policy is used. So, we talked about, you know, fire policy, although we term it as fire policy, we never use it for fire alone. We always use it for, let's say, riot, burglary, flood, earthquake, tsunami or whatever. Only thing is, this clauses have to be mentioned. That means, what are the risks which are covered under the policy. So, that is the combined policy. Then we come to the other kind of insurance, what we term as the miscellaneous insurance. So, we talked about the life insurance, we talked about the fire insurance, we talked about the marine insurance. So, apart from that, you have other kinds of insurance which are like personal accident insurance. So, in this, you know, if a person who is frequently traveling on the roads, etc., driving, he can insure himself against accidents. And in case he meets with an accident, he will get the amount insured. It can be, he can be either severely injured, or he can be handicapped, or even in the case of death, the family members will be compensated by the accident policy. Again, if you go to any of the policy sites, you know, there are some portals which sell policy. You will see the kind of cover that they include. So, accident insurance is a very basic, broad category. Under that, they also offer a lot of other facilities, you know. And even the extent of hospitalization charges. That means if you are injured and you have to stay in a hospital for an extended period of time, those can be also covered under the personal accident insurance policy. Insurance against theft. So, goods may be insured against robbery or theft. The policy in such cases lays down what this covers. this kind of insurance can be for goods in transit, especially, you know, when goods are being transported by railways, because that is where the probability of theft, etc., are maximum. You can also take this kind of an insurance policy for your home, against a robbery or a theft. Even, there are ATM vans, etc., which carry cash to the ATM centers for replenishing cash in the ATM machine. So they are also taking this kind of insurance, thereby the people and the vehicle and even the cash amount can be insured. Motor vehicle insurance. So this is Motor Vehicle Act of 1988. In case of any road accidents, which are very high in India, there are some specific clauses which are laid down for documentation, etc., and you can claim insurance for the vehicle as well as the person, including the third party risk. Just to briefly talk about the motor insurance, you have generally when you buy a new car or so, you have something called as a comprehensive insurance. So this insurance would normally cover all kinds of things, fire, flood, any kind of damage. It also covers the driver who is driving the vehicle. It covers people who are sitting inside the vehicle. So the driver would be the first party, or the owner would be the first party. The passengers in the car would be the second party. And the people on the road or any other vehicle that you may meet an accident with becomes the third party. So all these risks are covered. It covers risk or damages to the vehicle. It covers the risk to the owner, the passengers, and the third party. And the Motor Vehicles Act specifies that no vehicle can run on the road without a minimum of a third party insurance. That means we talked about comprehensive insurance, which covers all kinds of insurance. Third party is the minimum insurance you need to have. That means in this kind of insurance, if your vehicle is stolen or meets with an accident, you don't get any money from the insurance company. The driver or the owner will not get any compensation. The passenger in the vehicle will not get any compensation. But any person on the road, if he is injured or there is damage to property of any third party, that will be covered under this insurance. So, this was something about the motor vehicle insurance. Thank you.